Hello, Mama, and welcome to a special edition of the Healthy Hustlers podcast. I'm Madeline Carafa, host and creator of the Healthy Hustlers podcast and mama to beautiful baby girl, Georgia Florence. Since becoming a mum in September 2019, I've quickly realised just how important having a supportive network of mamas around you is for advice, guidance, or simply to just know you're not alone. And I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are not alone either. And I hope this series makes you feel exactly that. Motherhood, as beautiful and magical as it is also challenging, tiring, and a massive guessing game. Spoiler alert, no one has it all together. We are all just flying blind, doing the absolute best that we can. There is absolutely no right or wrong. I hope that this four-part series provides you with some further guidance, laughter, but most of all, I hope it reminds you that you are doing a wonderful job. In today's episode of the Motherhood series, I'm joined on the microphones with the wonderful, super stylish and not so mumsy Marcia Leone, creator of the much-loved Instagram account and online platform Not So Mumsy. Marcia is mum to son Archie Valentino and daughter Poppy Valentine. Marcia describes herself as an organic loving germaphobe with a healthy dose of OCD. If she was a drink, she'd be an activated green juice with the occasional nip or two of vodka. Residing in Sydney, the former events and marketing manager took the leap of faith to launch Not So Mumsy, which is now a globally renowned online platform for like-minded mamas and has evolved into a fashion label of stylish pieces for mamas and minis. And if that's not enough, this year Marcia launched the Not So Mumsy book to support new mamas on their motherhood journey. Here's Marcia. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is proudly brought to you by Bugaboo. Bugaboo prams are made to lighten your load and turn every day into an enjoyable adventure. Hello, Marcia, and welcome to The Healthy Hustlers podcast. How are you today?
I'm really well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. I've been so excited for this chat. I know we spoke quite a while ago, pre-COVID, about all of this. We were going to do it in person. And now here we are in September, finally connecting.
Yeah, it's been that kind of crazy year, right?
It sure has. I guess, how has this year been treating you guys as a family?
Oh, look, it's been a roller coaster, I think, for everybody, 2020. You know, the beginning, like we're in Sydney, so we have been quite fortunate the last few months, but obviously the beginning part of the year when everyone is locked down was pretty full on, especially with the kids, especially with, I have a son who's at school, so that was really tough for him, just to all of a sudden have no school, no sport, no friends. We found that transition tough. But other than that, I think we've been looking for silver linings and we have connected more as a family and kind of, you know, it's kind of, I think it's made a lot of people realize what's important and, you know, what to focus on, and, you know, hopefully good things will come out of this crazy year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's all we can do is hope that we can look back in years to come and think, you know, it was a really transformational, important year for us all to have. So with everything that has been going on this year, have you had a self-care practice that you've been prioritizing that's really helped you?
My non-negotiable self-care practice every week is my Pilates. So I do that twice a week in the studio, and obviously when we were in lockdown we couldn't do it then, so I was doing it at home where I go. They have a home program too, which was really helpful, but I also had to tap into, when I was in ISO in that beginning, you know, when everything was up in the air, it was quite scary, we didn't know what was going on, I tap into meditation every time. I don't do it religiously, but I'll go through phases in my life where I really need it, and I definitely needed it when I was in beginning stages of ISO. So that's kind of my go-to if I need some extra mental help, is to meditate. But my physically and also mentally, actually, my non-negotiable is to do my Pilates twice a week.
Yeah. Oh, I love both of those. I totally feel you there. And meditation's been a huge one for me. Always it is, but at the moment it's my non-negotiable being in that second round of lockdown in Melbourne, and it's definitely helping me stay positive and see the silver linings. But yeah, I think it's really important at the moment. So there's just so much uncertainty in all of our lives at the moment. So yeah, having those really good healthy habits and practices are so important, I think. I'd love to know a little bit about you though and your beautiful family. Can you give us a sneak peek into you guys?
Sure. So I'm a mum of two. I live in Sydney with my husband and Archie, who's eight, and my daughter Poppy, who is three. And I created Not So Mumsy when I was on maternity leave with my son 7 years ago. And yeah, I've kind of built a business so I can be around, work around my children and build a community of women who, you know, love and embrace motherhood, but also wanted to retain that sense of self, whatever that was. And that was kind of my driving factor 7 years ago. And it's kind of taken me so many different directions. And now I still get to work around my kids, which is amazing. And yeah, I've created a label and a book and with family first. So that's always been my focus.
I absolutely love that so much. And, you know, I've loved following your journey because of that as well, because seeing you be a mum first and foremost, but also having, you know, a really fulfilling and purpose-driven business. How has Not So Mumsy evolved over the years?
It started 7 years ago, as I said. And at the time, there was no real, like, mummy bloggers weren't really a thing back then. It was kind of on the cusp of Instagram. There was just a couple of influencers in the world that were in America, and there was no like Insta mums, for example. So I didn't know what I was getting into on that side of the thing. So I just wanted to create. I felt really lonely in my first, I was kind of a year into my motherhood journey, and I felt really lonely. I felt that I didn't connect in every way to the mums around me in my real life. So I kind of went online to kind of find my tribe, and I thought, well, I'm going to kind of build a community. If I feel like this, I'm sure there are other mums who love motherhood, but they're like, you know, I want to kind of still connect to who I was pre-mum. So I just kind of started this website, and then I started an Instagram to support the website. And as we know, Instagram's become this huge thing, and that's kind of my main platform now is Instagram. And from then I created a label, and then I wrote a book. So it's just, yeah, it's been an incredible journey. I've got to do some really incredible things. But basically it started, and at the core of it was to be a community of like-minded women, you know, with support and not no judgment. And that's kind of how I started. And I feel like I've stayed pretty true to that throughout.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that. And I love hearing the journey and how it's evolved in the most not creepy way at all. I feel like I need to tell you that I actually have like three of your pictures from Instagram on my vision board.
Oh. And it's, I love a good vision board.
I was like, ooh. And it's so funny because I got my husband, I redid it like only about 2 weeks ago. And I got my husband to print it at his office, and he brought it home. And I was like, oh my goodness, there's still three pictures of you and your family. And this is exactly why I wanted you on the podcast, because you really embody for me that inspiration of being a mum and living that really fulfilling life. You know, the way you guys have traveled with young kids and built your business. So yeah, thank you for sharing so much beautiful content and inspiration online. It's definitely helping so many people. I guess I'd love to know about you though.
When I think about me, who am I? My first thing is I'm a mum, but I'd like to delve deeper into who am I behind the mum? Like that's yes. Kind of what I'm all about. So, you know, I'm a mum, an author, a business owner, you know, founded a platform, but I'm one of 10 siblings, which is crazy.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I grew up in a family of there are six biological and four foster and adopted siblings. So, yeah, big family. I'm from a big family. But as far as me and myself, I'm still in a totally on a journey of where I want to go and figuring out who I am. I feel like I've come out of that early motherhood phase now because my youngest is three, and I feel like for the first time I can breathe a little, you know, when you're in the trenches, everything is just getting through the day. And I'm so grateful that I was able to build a business at that same time, you know, as that early motherhood phase. But now I feel like, okay, I can breathe a little, and like I'm kind of trying to see what I want as a person again, you know, not just the mum me, but the me. So I'm kind of on that journey at the moment.
I love that. And I think that's such an important touch point because, yeah, I definitely feel like I'm in the trenches at the moment. And it's a constant reminder for me as well of like, you know, I think sometimes with social media and as much as I love the platform so much and I love sharing, it's sometimes easy to look into someone else's lane and think, oh my goodness, look how far they are and look what they're doing. But, you know, it is that gentle reminder of like, yeah, right now you're just getting through each day and each day is new and it can sometimes be super overwhelming. And then other days it's, you know, you can get so much done and be quite productive. So I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I think especially for new mums, it's a really important thing to remember that the time will come when you can think a little bit clearer and, yes. and hustle a little bit harder.
Yeah, at the time you just don't think, you can't even see past the day, you know. And trust me, I've been there. I've written a lot about that in those trenches moments where you can't see past it. But it is nice to look back and reflect and to remind people, because I know I have a lot of people that follow what I do that are in the trenches still, to say, you know what, you come out of the trenches. And there's an amazing quote actually from this woman called January Hashi, and she said that those first few years postpartum pull you so far from who you used to be, but then they'll put you back together as the person you're meant to become. And isn't that powerful? I resonate so much with that. And I really feel that that just sums it up. Like, you feel like, you know, who am I? You're rediscovering who you are as a person while you're, you know, knee deep in shitty nappies and, you know, trying to run a business and trying to hustle and keep a marriage alive and, you know, doing all of these things. But through your motherhood journey, I feel like you can really find who you're meant to become, because you are a mum, you know?
Absolutely. I love that so much. That's such a powerful quote. I haven't actually heard that one before. And I think it gives, yeah, so much hope and comfort as well, of just knowing that like this stage isn't a forever thing. I think it's really easy to get bogged into that. Like, you know, I know I'm definitely at the thought sometimes of like, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to do this with another kid or two more kids and a business? Yeah. And, you know, you get really bogged down in those thoughts of like, is this even possible? How am I going to possibly do it now if I don't feel like I'm even managing at times now?
It's hard.
Yeah, it's absolutely hard. What would you say has been one of the biggest changes in you personally since becoming a mum?
I really feel like that it's, for me, it's been the sense of purpose. Like, I feel like that before I wasn't, like, I had quite a full career. So I didn't have Archie till I was 30. So I had, you know, I worked in media and television. I traveled a lot. And I was always searching for kind of that sense of purpose, of fulfillment. And I wasn't super maternal at all. I knew that I'd want to have babies one day, but it wasn't like, I need to have babies. I didn't feel that. But then when I did have my son, I was like, oh my gosh, it was just like, this is what this is all about, you know. And for me, it wasn't. I know that doesn't happen for everyone, but for me, it was like a real moment of fulfillment that that this is my purpose, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I think there's so many women out there that get a little bit scared that they're not maternal enough to have a baby or to make that step.
Or that they might lose who they are, you know.
Yeah. And
that's the message I try and say as well, is like, you don't have to, like I thought before, I had to tick off everything I wanted to do in life before you have kids, because your life's going to end. You're going to be stuck at home with the babies and that's it. And it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what I really wanted, you know, when I had a family, I still wanted to travel. I still wanted to do all these things, and to be able to do them, you know, through motherhood and because I'm a mum now, is really the icing on the cake, you know. So it's, you don't have to limit yourself because you're a mum, you can still do the things at the same time. And it might take longer and it might be harder. And, you know, I had my children quite spaced out, not necessarily by choice, but so it was easier for me to do other things as well, as, you know, because my son was 5 by the time I had Poppy. So it wasn't like I had 2 toddlers. I think it would have been a bit different if I had like a baby and a toddler, you know.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I actually remember reading that in your book about like, you don't have to tick off everything now. And it really resonated with me. I took a lot from that. I was like, oh my goodness, it's so true. We can get so caught up in thinking we, you know, had to hit a certain salary or job title or, you know, travel to so many certain places before we can have the baby. And I actually remember while I launched Healthy Hustlers and was pregnant, I worked a retail job, and I remember this lady coming in and she said she had 2 kids, and I wasn't actually pregnant at this stage, but my husband really wanted to have a baby. And this lady came in and we were just chatting and I was like, oh yeah, my husband really wants to have a baby, but I don't know, I've just started my own business and I'm feeling like, you know, really inspired and me at the moment. And she's just like, I promise you that you will never look back on an occasion or anything and think, oh, I wish I, you know, wasn't pregnant for this, or I didn't have a baby because of this experience. And yeah. I was really glad because it literally just shifted my mindset. And I was like, you know what, you're so right. And then I read it in your book and I thought, oh my goodness, it's so true. Like, we kind of wait for all of these things when, yes, it might be harder with a baby, but it's going to be just as fulfilling and beautiful.
Yeah, I feel like we're always waiting on that, everyone will know that it's the right time, but that doesn't necessarily happen. Sometimes you just have to, sometimes the right time is just now, let's just do it, you know. Yeah. and just think about it. So
yeah, what did you find the hardest about going from one to two kids?
Well, like I said, I had a bit of a age gap, so it was probably easier for me than if we had a baby and a toddler. So Archie had just started kindergarten when I had Poppy. So I feel like there was a bit of there's a bit of jealousy there from Archie because he was a single child for so long. So I think that for me was a bit tricky to navigate that while he was starting kindergarten, which was a big change for him as well. So just navigating, you know, introducing a new member for the family, but then there's just the logistics of nap time and school pickup and school drop off. Yeah. And we haven't had any sleep. And I remember dropping off Archie at school I still had a shower cap stuck to the back of my head in a bunk. But I was like, well, at least I showered, you know? So it's just those, like, because when you have your first baby, you don't have to go out and, like, you can just stay home for the first 6 weeks or whatever.
So true.
But when you get the second, it's like there's no choice. You have to get to school. So I was like, oh my God, baby's in the car, the kid's in the car. Forget lunch, do this. You haven't had any sleep. You're just like a bit of a hot mess. So you go through that phase. So that was probably the logistics part was the trickiest part of it for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I actually think about that all the time. It's funny. My mother-in-law always reminds me, like, if I am getting too caught up or stressed with Georgia, like not sleeping at certain times or whatever, she's like, don't worry, Maddie, soon you'll have more than one kid and they're just going to sleep whenever they can because you'll be doing school pickups and kindergarten. And I think it's such a good reminder as a new mum or first time mum to always get so fixated on those things, because sooner later you'll be juggling more than just that.
Yeah. And then you'll think, oh, man, that was really easy. But then, oh, my gosh, I could sit down and actually just have the baby on my chest while I watch TV all day. Now you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
But the thing is, the first time you don't actually enjoy that because it's so hard. It's, you know, it's a whole new world as a new mum. And then when you have the second, you go, oh, I should have really just enjoyed that a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I think even now, like, George is one and I think back to those early days and I'm like, oh, Maddie, you should have just enjoyed them more. Like, you know, now she won't sleep on my chest or anything. So I guess talking about sleep, though, it's definitely, you know, the million-dollar question with especially new mums. Do you have a sleep philosophy with the kids, or do you have any tips or tricks that you'd follow?
I'm a very go with the flow type. So I'm not a routine mum in that sense. I never have been. So I was like feeding on demand, kind of co-sleeping family. Like by co-sleep, I mean in the little bassinet next to me for the first, you know, 9 months. And then when they were old enough in the bed, because I breastfed till they were two or two and a half. So I was just, and I got more sleep when they were next to me because I just wake up, feed and go back to sleep. So for me, I was just kind of, my kids could sleep in prams, planes, cars, anywhere. I wasn't that routine mum because I knew that I was a working mum. I was on the go. We travelled a lot. And I watched my older sister who tried a real structured routine with her. She had two kids, like a baby and a toddler. And she struggled so much trying with routines with them and had to be home by certain times that she hated that newborn phase. I didn't want to hate it. I wanted to embrace it. So for me, that meant that the baby – they just kind of fit into what we were doing, and which is a lot, as long as they were with me, they would sleep, or, you know, so we just kind of have a go with the flow philosophy. But having said that, because they were breastfed on demand until I night weaned, which was Poppy was 18 months, she didn't sleep through the night. You know, she'd wake up for a couple of feeds in the night, but I was okay with that.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. Hey mama, it's time to make the city your playground with the Bugaboo B6. The perfect pram for everyday adventures, the Bugaboo B6 allows you to discover your city while offering comfort and an easy drive. Bugaboo kickstarted the pram revolution 20 years ago with game-changing products that help families explore the world in unparalleled comfort and unmistakable style. Today, Bugaboo keeps pushing their products forward by developing cutting-edge new products that go beyond just strolling to give every parent the confidence and freedom in their journey ahead. My favourite features about the stylish Bugaboo B6 is the one-handed fold, which makes packing and unpacking it so easy, the comfortable seat fabrics, and the larger puncher-proof wheels means it drives like a dream. When searching for the perfect pram to suit our family's needs, I wanted something that was extremely light, incredibly strong, and most of all, ideal for navigating the busy city streets. The Bugaboo B6 ticks all the boxes and more, making it the uber stylish and smooth ride pram of my mum life dreams. Click the link in the show notes or visit www.bugaboo.com/au-en to order your Bugaboo B6 today. Time to turn every day into an enjoyable adventure. So long as you're okay with what you're doing, that's almost like the main objective, isn't it? Like a happy, healthy mum.
It totally is.
Makes healthy kids, yeah.
That's right. And that's why I always say that there's no right or wrong way with anything in motherhood, but also when it comes to sleep. I mean, some mums, sleep deprivation really affects their mental health, or they have to go back to work, or they have to get some help, you know, to be able to get that routine, and that's what they thrive on, and that's totally great, you know. And other mums can be the opposite. So whatever, like I always say, when people say, you know, are they a good sleeper or a bad sleeper, or they have a sleep problem, it's only a sleep problem if, like, babies wake up. That's what they do. They're exactly. meant to wake up.
Yeah.
And it's only a sleep problem if it's a sleep problem for the mum, and that's a legitimate problem as well. So that's when you need to kind of look into other things to sort out what works for your family.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think it's so important. And it's funny, you know, the saying, I'm going to sleep like a baby. I remember after I had Georgia, I was like, that is like the worst saying ever. My mother's group and
ridiculous?
I used to laugh about it, because we're like, babies don't sleep well. They wake up for feeds, they wake up for poos, you know, like, it's so funny that where did that saying even come from? Because it's so further from the truth. And, you know, I think sleep's...
Yeah.
It's such a funny thing. Like, I think too, you know, as a mum, I really put a lot of pressure on that, on sleep and having a baby that slept, because I knew that I wasn't at my best if I wasn't getting sleep. But the more that I've just taken Georgia's lead and, you know, let her kind of guide the way, I feel like things are just so much better. And, you know, and reminding myself that she's still a baby, you know, we expect a lot from them at such a young age, and sometimes she just literally wants to wake up and be held by mum, and that's okay. Like, I know I try to remind myself that I'll miss these days one day, and just to be
totally.
In the moment, and this is my most important job right now. So I guess for any mummers who are listening though, that are feeling quite sleep deprived or exhausted right now, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say just try, look, ask for help if you need it first and foremost. I think that's the most important thing. Just after I had Poppy, I didn't realise that they existed, but there's a postpartum doula, because we didn't have any family help, you see, and I think that's, some people have more help than others, so someone can come and take the baby in those early days in the morning or during the day so you can have to sleep for a couple of hours or something like that. But a lot of people don't get that help anymore, and particularly now, I mean, new mums who have had babies in isolation must be so hard for them. So if they can ask for help and have some help, I think that's, and even if that's connecting online with someone who you resonate with their sleep philosophies, you know, I found Pinky McKay and Isla Grace Sleep. There are a couple of sleep people out there that I really resonated with what they were talking about when it came to sleep and kind of what's normal and what's not normal, to make me feel like, okay, my baby hasn't got a problem. It's actually normal for a baby to wake up, because I think that we're told a lot that, oh, the baby has to be sleeping by 8 weeks or whatever, you know, like that's how it should be, otherwise there's something wrong, and that's not necessarily the case. So take the pressure off yourself, just to know that it's normal that babies wake up, and try different things and do things that make you feel, you know, trust your gut with what resonates and what doesn't, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really, really nice advice. And you did touch on your feeding, I guess, briefly there, but can you talk a little bit more about your feeding journey? Because I know that's something that you're really open with online, and I love that you share that so openly with your audience.
Yeah, well, that was actually one of the reasons. So when I first started Not So Mumsy, it was more about fashion and style and, you know, mummy, mini, that type of thing. And then I started opening up about, because Archie was like, was turning two and I was still breastfeeding, and it was like very taboo back then. This is like, you know, 7 years ago. So it was still, wasn't like now where there's all, you know, a lot of breastfeeding awareness on social media and things like that. So, and I opened up about the judgment and shame that I, you know, that I felt like I had to go feed him in the public toilet because of the comments and things like that. So I opened up about that a lot, you know, extended feeding. And it really kind of resonated with a lot of people and a lot of mums who felt shamed, whether they fed or because they didn't feed or they bottle, you know, and there's just so much stigma around bottle feeding versus breastfeeding and this and that. And it's just like, I just really feel like we need to support whatever's going on for whatever mum, because we don't know the circumstances. But for me personally, my experience with Archie was he had emergency surgery at birth. So he was meal by mouth for a month. So I wasn't able to feed him. He wasn't even been able to be tube fed. He just had clear fluids. So I pumped around the clock for a month every 3 hours to establish my milk. And it was the only thing that I could focus on, you know, that because I was going insane. I wasn't allowed to touch him or pick him up or cut it. It was just an awful experience for a first time mum. So I just thought, okay, I'm just going to pump. So when he's able to take my milk, I'll have so much milk for him. And I filled those fridges up in that hospital with all this milk, you know. And then when I remember when he was screaming in pain and hunger, and I just looked at him and I had these breasts like full of milk. And I said, you know, when I can feed you, I'm never going to deny you. I'll feed you as long as you want, you know. And that's kind of, and before I didn't really have an idea of how long I wanted to breastfeed. I just thought, yeah, I'll try it. I did have a meeting with a lactation consultant before his birth who told me, you know, it was so important that I had to just have skin to skin. And I didn't get to have any of that stuff. But I was still able to have a successful breastfeeding relationship with him through perseverance. And then we continued to feed for 2.5 years. So for us, it was more not just for nutrition. It was a really connection and because of what we'd gone through. So, yeah. And then with Poppy, I thought after feeding, you know, for 2.5 years, you're a pro at it, but it doesn't happen like that. And, you know, with Poppy, I was like shocked at how painful it was again and how hard those first, because this was the first time I was feeding a newborn because I didn't get to feed Archie till he was a month old. So
yes,
just so she actually had to bring my milk in, you know, rather than the pump and things like that. So it was a very different experience with her and it was very painful. And I remember thinking if I hadn't have had that experience feeding Archie and known a lot about breastfeeding because I'd researched, I probably would have given up. And that's when I realised that we're told that we need to breastfeed, but I really don't feel like we're given the support and shown exactly how and what's normal. And I feel like there needs to be so much education around how to breastfeed. Like it's a learned skill for baby and for mum. And I really feel that, you know, my advice for anyone who wants to have a breastfeed, you know, if you don't want to breastfeed, that's totally fine too. But if you want to, I really think that you need to get support from a lactation consultant, not just a midwife, not a doctor, but a proper lactation consultant. And that's what helped me through both of my babies and enabled me to go on to continue to feed for as long as I did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're great points because it's one of those things that, you know, although it's natural and we see women do it day in, day out, it is really hard, you know, and it's very mentally and physically exhausting on, you know, the mum and also the baby, like it's completely new to them as well. I think there's so much pressure or expectation around because it is natural, it's just going to be this easy process. And yeah, I was shocked at how much it probably took a mental toll on me of just more the demand of it on my body. And, you know, I never really felt like me or felt energized. But you know, I was really lucky that Georgia loved it and it was definitely her comfort. I've only just finished actually on her first birthday and it was a weird, I think I just put so much thought or into it in the end that I'm like, I couldn't even decide if I wanted to keep going or I didn't. I was like, I don't even know what I feel like. And one day I just woke up and I said to my husband, okay, I think I'm done. Like, I think I'm ready. And I was down to one boob and one was big and one was tiny. I had very little milk and I thought, okay, I think we're done here. But I love hearing, you know, your story and your journey. And I think that's what really inspired me was hearing women that did just try so hard to be able to give their baby that milk, that breast milk, and everyone's journey is so different and so unique to us. But I think, you know, you've got to do what feels right for you and for your baby. So I'm glad that you totally, shared that.
Yeah. And I'm such an advocate on the other flip side. And in my book, in every phase of motherhood, I'll feature perspective from someone who couldn't breastfeed or didn't breastfeed and someone who did. You know, like, I think it's very important just to show that it's normal to do both. It's, you know, it's okay. We all do things differently and that's okay. And I feel like it's that the pressure and the competition and the shoulds and the shouldn'ts is the hardest thing in motherhood. In every, you know, when you're talking sleep or breastfeeding or anything, I feel like that really is the hardest part of motherhood, is the judgment. And am I doing this right? Am I doing the wrong thing? The guilt, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's so, so true. I put Georgia on a bottle feed, I think around 3.5 months, because she went through a phase of refusing my boob. And it was such a weird time mentally for me of just like getting, like, I'd already spoken to my husband about introducing a bottle to take the pressure off me. But then when she decided to do it on her own terms, I was like, oh, but I shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, I want to keep giving you breast milk. And it's just this constant, almost negative thought pattern of you're not doing good enough or you're not doing enough. And we just need to be, exactly. And we just need to be so much kinder and more gentle on ourselves, I think, as women, and know that, you know, we're all doing our absolute best with the knowledge and the advice that we have. So, yeah, I would like to shift gears a little bit though, because I really want to talk to you about the boss mama side of you, and I guess how you really are able to juggle the business and the demands of a growing business with also being a mum first and foremost.
In the phase of motherhood that I'm in now, I find that this is the hardest thing for me, is to juggle this and feel like I'm doing a good job at either of them, mumming and work, because you're constantly kind of half your head's here and half your head's there, and I really do find that that's the biggest struggle for me right now. I'm very lucky that I have a supportive husband, so we're very much a team with the kids. So he launched his own business when I had Archie. So for the first 2 years or so, I kind of stood behind him and supported him while he travelled overseas and set up his business and did all this stuff. And now I feel like it came full circle when I was writing my book last year, and he had just sold his business, and he was able to kind of swapped roles for the year, where he was at home with the kids, made the school lunches, did the school pickup, school drop off, while I was in, you know, because writing the book is obviously hectic on top of another full-time job. So I was you know, in the studio working till 1 a.m. and things like that. So it was a good 6 months there where I was kind of just in the juggle, but I was a hot mess during that time, I must say. Like, it's not easy. I'm a hot mess now, let's be honest. I constantly feel like I'm chasing my tail. That's just how I feel every day. I forget things. I'll be like, oh, they forgot school hat, and I have to do a trip back there. I'll get dressed for a meeting and go, okay, I'm ready, and call my agent. She's like, it's on Thursday, today's Tuesday. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I definitely don't have it all sussed. I'm kind of like, I just work in between things. I do a lot of work at night because I want to get home for the kids for their evening routine. So then I'll kind of switch gears and switch back again. But look, I do find it a challenge, but I love what I do. And I think that's what keeps me going, keeps the drive there, is I love what I do. And if there's parts that I don't love, I'm in a fortunate position now where I can say, you know what, I'm not loving this so much now, so I'm going to kind of change direction a little bit, or not I'm learning to say no more to things that don't really resonate with my soul. So yeah, look, so basically I'm hot mess mama. I don't think anyone who juggles motherhood and business really has it sussed, to be honest. It's hard.
I remember saying to one of my friends, I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, like, it's just such a guessing game. I'm just feel like I'm never doing anything right. And she's just like, babe, no one has it all together. And if they're telling you they are, they're lying. And I was like, okay, that is great advice and exactly what I needed to hear. So I love hearing that you feel the same as well. I think it's just that constant, almost goes back to that feeling guilty sometimes, isn't it? Like, I'm not giving enough to my business, or I'm not giving enough to my family, or I'm not organized enough. I know the organization one is a big one for me. I just always feel like I'm not organized enough. And if something goes wrong, I'm like, universe, what are you trying to tell me? I need to be more organized.
Yeah, I'm not a super organized person either. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's just not in my blood. I would love to be a really organized person, maybe in my next life, but yeah, right now I'm definitely not. But you have touched on your book, and I would love to give the audience a little sneak peek into, I guess, the writing process, where the inspiration came from, and if they got a copy, what they can expect.
Yeah, well, I guess my book is really kind of the culmination of 7 years of being in that online motherhood space where I learned through my community and through that becoming a mother and those early motherhood years through my community that we don't want or need to be told what to do. We just need to be told that we're doing a good job, and there's many different ways to be a good mum. And I found with the motherhood books, they're all about advice, or there's a certain style in them, or parenting, or their shoulds and shouldn'ts. And I just wanted to write a support book, not an advice book, and share stories of mums who all do it differently and celebrate them all, as well as share my story and why I look at motherhood through the lens that I do, obviously because of the experiences I've had with I go through right back from my childhood when my baby sister passed away, how that affected my motherhood journey, to my son having emergency surgery and almost not making it, to IVF journey with my daughter. So that was, 2 years of trying to have her, and all of that process as well. So I feel like it's my motherhood experience in a nutshell, but it also incorporates lots of different stories from other mums that just share that theme of we all do it differently, but it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a beautiful book. And I know at the start of it, you said it's like your mother, you wanted, or maybe you said it in your Instagram post actually, about you wanted this book to be like a mother's group or feel like your mother's group. And
yeah.
I definitely felt like that reading it. It's it's so beautiful.
I dedicated it to the mamas who are still searching for their village, because I feel like
that's right.
You feel really lost in those early, and you can feel lost even if you're in the traditional mothers group. Sometimes you don't really, like, all you've got in common is the baby, and you don't really have other things in common. And I feel like that's what the best thing about social media was for me, was that I kind of found my tribe. And I just feel like for people that are kind of looking for their village, they are out there.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. And I guess that's exactly why I wanted to do these conversations at this time, because I know there's so many mums, in isolation, or new mums who haven't even been able to experience mothers groups yet. So to bring these conversations to their ears and just show them that they're not alone, and that we're, all experiencing our own journeys, and it's unique, but we're all here to support each other. And it's exactly why I wanted you to be a part of this series. So thank you so much for your time. I've absolutely loved chatting to you and adore following you and your beautiful family.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you as well.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @thehealthyhustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.